Yeah. We came up, amen. We came up. Hello, somebody. I want to thank God. I'm super nervous. I'm sorry. I'm new to Friday night service, amen. So, Sebastian, say amen. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to thank God for my salvation and what He's done for me and my family. Amen. If there's been hard times, there's been good times where the sun don't shine, the moon will. Come on, somebody. Amen. I want to thank God for my pastors. Amen. Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia. Amen. And for all the rebukes. Amen. If it wasn't for the rebukes, I wouldn't be here today. Amen. Trust me, if you leave, they'll go get you. Amen. I want to thank God for Josh. Amen. My mom especially. Amen. That she never gave up on me. You know, the people in my circle. You know, they never gave up. You know, there's something about Victory Outreach when you got family to back you up. Amen. When you got family to back you up, amen. When you got leaders that believe in you. Amen. People that believe in you.
Yes.
Amen. For the now generation, we got potential.
Amen.
Is the gang in the house?
Yeah.
Is the gang in the house? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm so nervous. I'm still trying to find my pages. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Amen. If you could grab your Bible and turn with me to Psalms 40. Hallelujah. I mean, I thank God for Victory Outreach.
Amen.
Come on, man. Psalms 40. We're going to read 1 through 3. Amen. Amen. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's start. The word of the Lord reads, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me, heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud of my mire. He set my feet on the solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Verse 3 reads, He has given me a new song. Somebody say new song.
New song.
To sing a hymn of praise to our God.
Yes.
Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Father God, I come before You, God, right now, God. God, I pray, God, for Your Holy Spirit, God, to come in this place, God, of understanding, God, of wisdom, God. I pray, God, that as You speak through me and to me, God, speak to Your people, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Come on. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time. You may take your seats. Tonight, I want to speak to you. If you're taking notes, I want to title this message, The Promise. Somebody say, The Promise.
Promise.
See, I'm not just going to talk about 3 points that got me to where I am today, but I want to talk about 3 points that dealt with my life to get to that promise. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
We just got to continue to say yes to God.
Amen.
Is anybody in this place ready to say yes to God?
Amen.
Do you say yes to God when He calls upon you? See, and I want to speak to you about these 3 points. And my first point I want to get to, this promise, I can't forget where I come from. See, in Victory Outreach, we always say, don't forget where you come from.
That's right.
But I can add to it is, I'm not going to forget where I come from. I'm going to go back, but I'm not going to turn back and somebody say amen.
Amen. Come on.
See, right here in Psalms 40, God found us in a place of despair. See, He heard our cry.
That's right.
God found us lost and broken. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
But if you really think about it, God didn't find us. He knew where we're at.
Oh, hell yeah.
See, we were broken. God was just waiting for us to give in and give up into His plan. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
See, there's many times when people come to church and they say, well, God found me. No, beloved, You found Jesus.
Hello.
When You found that crack pipe, come on, somebody. You didn't say the crack pipe found me. He said, I found where it's at, brother. I know where the spot's at.
Come on.
Well, see, Jesus took us out of something that we don't belong in the first place. Because he said, I am your creator.
Yeah.
I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. God doesn't want to see us broken. God doesn't want to see us in despair. God wants to see us in one family, one accord. Amen?
Amen.
See, we got to change our mentality that we found Jesus.
Come on.
We found Jesus. God always knew we were in that trap house. He always knew what we were going to do. Start slinging dope. And some of you might have not been drug addicts. Some of you might have not been gang members. But you were lost in pornography. You were lost in suicidal thoughts. You were lost stuck in that house. And you didn't know what to do. But you fell to that man. You fell to that woman. You fell to lust. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Is this Fire Up Friday service or what? See, we got to give up and give in. We got to give up and give in. We got to continue to get what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say into God's plan, not the devil's plan.
Amen.
Not the devil's plan. Too many of us threw in the flag when it came to the devil. Too many of us gave up and gave in too easy when it came to the devil. But what about the word of God? What about evangelizing? What about building a church? Don't give up, my friend. Don't give up, brother. Don't give up, sister. I'm talking to somebody here. Somebody's going through something.
Come on.
You went through something today.
Come on.
And you want to give up. But I'm here to tell you, don't throw in the towel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't throw in the towel.
That's right.
Because it's going to come 7 times harder. See, yeah. You've been exposed to something great. You've been exposed to an anointing that not even the devil can stop. Not even the enemy can stop. You've been exposed to a worldwide ministry called Victory Outreach. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to plant churches. We're going to build men's homes. We're going to come together as a church. And build UTCs and urban training centers and to reach the drug addicts and to reach the prostitutes. But it came a time in the day when we gotta go to the highlands and go get that doctor that's stuck on heroin and nobody knows. Go get that cosmetologist that's snorting cocaine. Come on, somebody. We gotta do what we gotta do. We gotta do what we gotta do. My pastor tell me, you're not a boy no more.
Come on.
One them talks, man.
Come on. Right.
But my mom and my mind, no!
Right.
No! All right, Pastor, man. We had those talks. I had those talks. Somebody had to come into my life and say, look, when you were a boy, you did what you want to.
Come on.
When you wanted to play, you got to play.
Yeah.
When you wanted to have jump rope and patty cake with the devil, you had patty cake with the devil. But now that you're a man, growing up, now that you got a car, now that you got a job, and keep your wallet safe, continue to give. Now you're a man. Now you do what you got to do. I'm here to tell you that if it wasn't for my pastors, if it wasn't for my mom, if it wasn't for my leader, I wouldn't be standing here at 22 years old talking to you and telling you that the fight ain't over.
Yeah, good.
But you can't forget where you come from.
Yes,
right. Too many of us get rich.
Come on.
Too many of us get a car.
My God.
We think we're too good to come and put on the mic. Come on, somebody. I'm not here to rebuke you. I'm just here to uplift. Come on. That's my pastor job. I'm going to let him. Hello, somebody.
Come on, that's right.
But we can't forget.
Yeah.
We can't forget. Sometimes we got to go back. We got to go back for the people that got lost.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to go back for the people that are stuck on drugs, the suicidal, the family that's all tore up, and you used to be that family. Mm. You know, my pastor always told me, go reach another family, watch your family be saved.
Come on.
You know how hard that was? No. My family, you know, till today, I love them with all my heart.
Come on.
With all my heart. And, you know, they have parties and stuff, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, man, only if you knew what God has for you.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Only if you knew how to tell them, man, I'm no better than you.
Come on.
I'm no better than you. See, Jesus didn't come to hate the person. He came to hate the sin.
Yeah, right.
He came to hate the sin. We got to stop giving the devil the plans to our life. God has lifted up us, has lifted us up from out of our mess. Why do we want to go back?
Come on.
Why do we want to go back? Right? The Bible says, don't be that dog that goes back to his vomit. Because what do dogs do? They go back to their vomit and they eat it.
Yes.
See, we can't be that church.
That's right.
We can't be that church that, was at a level, but not in another level. It's a new year.
Come on.
It's a new year. 2019 is going to come around. What are you going to do? Go back to the vomit that who you were last year, how you were doing it last year, how you were getting it last year, how you were moving things last year. We can't be like that.
Yeah, that's right.
You might not have been a drug addict. You might not have been a gang member. But at the end of the day, we all need Jesus.
Yes.
At the end of the day, we all need Jesus.
Right.
When I read this scripture, it says he heard my cry.
Yeah.
Can we hear the cry
Come on.
Of the city? Can we hear the cry of the drug addict? Can we hear the cry of Highland Park? Come on now, just because they got money don't mean diddly squat.
Because
money don't buy happiness.
Yeah,
money ain't going to buy you another heartbeat.
Come on.
Money ain't going to buy you another voice. Money ain't going to buy you another car. And if it does, that's just going to break down. Because money don't last forever. What lasts forever is Jesus. What lasts forever is the kingdom. What lasts forever is the Holy Spirit. What's going to last forever is your legacy.
Yes.
I put on Facebook because I heard it from somewhere. It said, you know, of course our pastor says, work yourself out of ministry. And I added, build a legacy, not a following.
Come on.
We're not here to clean up your mess.
Come on.
When you enter into a ministry, when you leave that ministry, it got to be banging.
Come on, somebody.
Better than what it was.
Come on,
we're here to build a legacy.
Yeah.
We're here to build a foundation for the next generation to come. And the next generation to come, I don't know about you, but when it comes to the gang, I got a heart for the gang. When it comes to the gang and their salvation, there's something that stirs up in my life. Something that stirs up. Don't get stuck in the limelight. Don't get stuck in the hype either.
Because
it only lasts for a little bit.
Come on.
You can be hyped up for a little bit, but let the devil come. If you really ain't got faith, if you really ain't got the strength that you need, the devil's gonna come.
Come on.
He's gonna swipe you off your feet. You know, he's gonna come like a roaring lion.
That's right.
He's gonna come knocking at your door, but he's gonna keep it closed. Mm. He got some keys to our mind. But are you gonna be like Jesus that he went to the hell's gates and he took them away?
Come on.
Or are you gonna let the devil instead of God keep unlocking doors? Unlocking that doors that you shut when you first came into the church.
Mm.
Unlocking them doors that you wish you were closed that were closed, but you're just too weak. You're not in prayer no more.
My God.
Come on now. Come on now. Exodus 2. Exodus chapter 2. Amen. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and so forth all the way to Revelations. Amen. Don't be surprised, I grew up in church my whole life.
Come on.
Hello.
So, if I start quoting the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, no, I'm just kidding. I'll get there, amen.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 2, verse 7, we're going to read to 10. Amen, are you there?
Amen.
The word of the Lord reads, then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked, yes, do. The princess replied, so the girl went and called the baby's mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me.
Excuse me.
The princess told the baby's mother, I will pay you for help. So the woman took the baby in her home and nursed him. Verse 10. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lift him out of the water. I lift him out of the water. See, Moses was found in a basket. Little did he know he was about to step into his anointing.
Come on.
Come on now. See, he was lifted out of the river. Sometimes we got to get lifted out of the river.
Yeah.
Sometimes we could choke in the word. Sometimes we can get too deep and the devil starts playing with our mind and he starts saying, but the pastor said this, but let's go back to this. What does that really mean? But right here it's talking about Moses. Moses had it all. Moses was soon to live in Pharaoh's palace.
Come on. Come on.
I'm going to go somewhere with this. He had it all fed with a silver spoon. Money, jewelry, clothes. He had it all. Name it. Huh? Probably had a dog named Spot and a white picket fence.
Hello.
He had it all. See, this man had it all. And now I want to talk about the children of Israel. Stay with me. Now, hopefully I don't confuse you. So that's Moses' background. Amen. Everybody get that?
Amen.
So we're going to go to same chapter, verse 2. Chapter 2, 11. Chapter 2, 11. Check this out. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating on his fellow Hebrew. See, Moses had it all. But one day he decided, you know, to go visit his people. Because those were his people.
Yeah.
He was a child, you know, children of Israel. He was part of that. But see, growing up, he was found in a basket. He was taken into Pharaoh's house. He grew up. Right? He grew up rent paid. Hello, somebody. Car was paid. Chariot was paid.
Hello,
somebody. His horses were very groomed.
Come on.
Amen. His horses also ate from a silver spoon. Hello. But as we can see, the children of Israel were living in poverty.
Mm.
We're living in poverty. They lived in little homes, not enough food, and slavery, and had little, but yet in bondage.
Come on.
But yet in bondage. See, God is doing something here. God is showing Moses, like, hey, man, you got to get it together.
Come on.
You got to get it together. You might be fed with a silver spoon. You might have whatever you have, but can you buy the children of Israel's way out?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't buy nothing. It has to be with the power of God.
Right.
It has to be with the power of God. If you want to break chains, if you want to break bondage,
yeah,
if you want to bring that married couple that's on the rocks, if you want to bring that single that's suicidal and take their life out, it's going to take an anointing.
Yeah.
And that anointing, the devil can't mess with it.
Yes.
As long as you step into God's presence.
That's right.
As long as you're in prayer. As long as you continue to read His word. As long as you continue to worship Him, not just here, but at work.
Come on.
Huh? He will give you something. But there's a difference here. One's in royalty and one's in not. Go to see Moses and the people. Whether they are rich or poor, they had a void to fill in their heart.
That's right.
See, Moses had a void for God's people. And God's people, they had a void to get out of Egypt. They were tired of getting beaten. They were tired of being in slavery.
Come on.
It came to a point of time where Moses had to give it all up.
Yeah.
He had to give it all up. The children of Israel, sometimes we're going to have to go back to the gutter. Come on, somebody. At Mighty Men, one of the pastors said, you're going to have to go back to the gutter. No matter where you have to push, no matter where you have to squeeze, no matter where you have to quit, where you have to fight, you're going to have to go back to the gutter. At one point in time, Moses was going to have to go back to the gutter for not just the children of Israel, but for their sake, but to where God wanted to take them. And tonight, God wants to take you back to the gutter, not to show you just where you came from, but for where you need to go back to and save others.
Man.
We need to go back. I'm not going to do what that pastor did. He got down. He got down. Should I do it?
No,
he got down, right? He said, you got to go back to the gutter. You got to understand one thing. That it's not about you no more, Victory Outreach. He's talking to the Mighty Men. It's not about you, Mighty Men, but it's about the One. It's about the Only, the God Almighty. But He's going to give you the power to push. He's going to give you the vision to see. He's going to give you that feel for the hurting.
Yes.
Well, he was gone. He started crawling on the floor. He took his jacket off. I'm like, woo! But that's what you got to do. Right? Some of us, you know, we get spiritually stuck. We walk around with the purple on. Right? Spiritually, I don't know about you. Sometimes I get like that. Got the purple on royalty, right? God called us, right? Hello, somebody. Right?
Sometimes we gotta take it off.
Yeah.
Sometimes we gotta take it off and put the cape of discipleship.
Hello.
Sometimes we gotta take it off and put the cape of teaching.
Come on.
Sometimes we gotta take it off and go put the cape of evangelism, but first you gotta be a student.
Yeah.
You gotta be a student. You gotta know how to get through the gutter. You gotta go through the gutter first.
Come on.
You gotta go through the gutter first. The gutter could be anything. It could be anything, to drugs, to fighting in your family, to spirit in your family. But yeah, you're pushing. You're pushing. You start to see light. You start to go through the gutter. There might be a little tight squeeze, but you keep going. You keep going. You might get tired and want to throw in the towel, but you keep pressing in because God has a plan, not just for you, but for your family and the brokenhearted. God has a plan. But you got to go through the gutter. You can't get too comfortable in church. You can't get too comfortable.
Come on.
We got to crawl back sometimes through the gutter. Just do what it takes. Do what it takes. Do what it takes. It doesn't matter how you feel. Because there's somebody out there feeling worse.
That's right.
Yep. It doesn't matter what you think. Because there's somebody that has a twisted mind. Doesn't matter how you feel, because there's somebody with a broken bone and they're on the streets. But yet you're sitting here and you say, man, there's sometimes I don't want to go through the gutter because I'm scared to fall. What you scared of? When God said, he said, I'm going to give you the anointing.
Come on.
I'm going to give you the power to baptize people and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
You can't be scared. You can't be scared. Because the devil's going to bring all he got.
Yeah.
The devil's going to bring all he got. It's not fair. You say the game ain't fair. You say the world ain't fair. It's the same thing. You got to fight. You fought in the world. You got up there with the homies. You were in there when you did a beer run. I never did it, but I can imagine people. What are you doing, dude? You're dropping stuff. You done messed up. You know, and I went to the home in Amarillo. Quick little story. I kid you not. When I went to the home, thank God for the home.
Homies.
Homies, come on, man. Come on, y'all. Don't leave me up here now. But I seen these dudes doing the beer one, this dude dropping everything. That's how we could look spiritually. Right? Chasing after that person. You know, and you're like, oh, I don't even want to go. You start complaining. Well, why do we gotta go get this person? Why can't, you know, it's his fault he left. You know, when I was in the home, well, a lot of that. It's his fault he left. Lock the doors. Hurry up, brother. Lock the doors. Lock the doors. Don't let him come in. You gotta search him and everything. But it's real. It's real. It's real. That's how we could look sometimes. We could be through ministry, but yet dropping our fruit everywhere we go. Come on, have fruit salad. Start doing the cucaracha. Come on, I'm not trying to bring it back.
Oh, pastor coming, man. Leader's coming.
You're going to try to scoop it all up. All right, got your little forks. What you doing? Well, we could look like that sometimes. Huh? Through the years of me being shaped and molded and rebuked, I was looking like that. That's how I felt. You know, what am I doing in ministry? You know, am I really doing something? Am I being like Moses and having to give it all up? Am I seeing God's people? Am I really? Why am I here? And then that's when it happened. Devil don't mess with Texas. Pastor Tim Argan's on. He said, you. I said, man, you picked on me because I'm fat, man. Stop playing with me. I'm chunky boy, man. Pastor tells it all the time. You know? And then, you. Man, it's because I got an all white shirt buttoned up, huh? Can't breathe, but it's all right. He said, God got a plan for you. In my mind, I'm like, God got a plan for you too, man. I didn't know who he was. Is he going to be a pastor? Yeah, right. And I'm like, you see all the people my pastor got to deal with? You think I want to do that, so I get gray hairs like that? You know, he's blessed, man. My pastor's blessed. He ain't got gray hairs. I rebuke that. Man, and Sister Sylvia. But I'm like, nah, God, you got the wrong person.
Amen.
You got the wrong person. And then again, we had a three-day revival. It was a three-day revival. Pastor, not Tim, Sonny Argonzoni, Yo, I'm like, man, here we go again. God got a plan for you. He wants to build you. You got a mega church inside of you. There's something that's going to happen. Oh, you're going to go through some things. But God wants you to walk the walk. You're going to talk the talk. It's going to get hard for you, little brother. It's going to have to go through the butter. But guess what? You're going to make it. And I was listening to him because this was the second time. I said, all right, I was young, man, like 13, 14 years old, 22 now. And I was like, cool, hey, you know, I get to tell people what to do. You know, I get to tell people what to do. My dad's looking at me like, oh. And I'm like, cool, yay. And third time confirmation. Come on, I'm seeking confirmation now. Come on, fine. But it took me a while. I'm not going to lie. It took me a while. I was like Moses. I was in the palace. I was in the palace. I didn't want nothing to do with God. I was that person in the family that didn't want to go to church but was the first one saved. And I remember where God found me. Right there on 2306 East Park Row, I kid you not. Yeah, yeah. It was in 2012. I was at a gang service, the biggest one, hello somebody, little bit of kids. And pastor starts praying for me. My mom's behind me. Pastor's like, God's going to use you. God's going to do something in your life. And that's when I fell to live the curses, the generational curses upon my life.
Amen.
Literally come out of me. I felt that. Yes. And I'm like, man, I kind of got scared. I'm young. I got scared. And after that, you know, I don't know what pastor's thing, but I went hard. I was like, knucklehead. But he got me. He got me, pulled me into his office. That's all I remember. 2306 Park Road was the office. Yeah. Amen. Joshua's the office. But at the end of the day, I'm here. I'm here. Amen. Like Moses, I had to give up everything. I had to come to a point of time in my mind where it's either the devil or God. Come on. It's either dark or light. There's no in between. There's no in between. God's going to spit you out. So I had to figure out what I was going to do. I had to figure out the plan that God had for me. Yeah. I had to continue to push through the gutter. I had to continue to go through the struggle. I had to continue to press on. I had to continue to save other people. Let God use me to save other people.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to give.
Right.
I had to give. I didn't have a lot. Sorry, I'm like crazy. I have a lot. I didn't. But I had to give what I had. See, a make it happen ministry is not you go get and then what you work for is what you have and then what you work with. What you got, you work with it. We've been taught to work with it. One time we had 3 people on the worship team. 4 people on the worship team. Me, Pastor Sylvia, and Rocio. I didn't leave you behind, Rocio. 3 people on the worship team. No idea what we're doing. Pastor was singing. He has a beautiful voice. A nice voice. Give him props. Amen. But we built the church.
Come on.
His voice brought people. I kid you not. But we started growing. But in those pioneering stages, and then Josh right there running with the gang, rebuking us, we're like, dude, you're like from Victory Outreach from like 20 years ago. I don't know what we're doing, right? Not like, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. We're like, all right, Josh. So who gonna pick us up? You gonna walk. All right, Josh. But we had to give it our all. Huh? I like to say the pioneers. Come on, somebody. The pioneers. The pioneers that were there. But now you're here today.
Come on.
Now it's your time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's your turn.
Yes.
We can only lead you so far. My pastor can only lead you so far to drink of the land of the milk and honey. But now it's your turn to go to the streets. Now it's your turn to go disciple somebody. Now it's your turn to put somebody under your wing and say, hey, I got what it takes. I got the fire upon my life. I'm not sitting on no block of ice. You can hide a block of ice, devil, because guess what? I ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
Right? Giving. My second point is giving. I'm going to speed it up here because I know we've been here all night. Amen. I was going to come up here and just do altar call. Right? You had Josh. I'm like, come on, Josh. You preach better than me. No, we had Sean and them. And Holy Scripture.
right? And then we had pastor, you know, praying. Man, I was like, hello. But giving. Giving. Chapter 3, 7 through 8, I'm going to read it. Then the Lord told him, I certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt and their own fertile and spacious land. And it is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, and Jebusites, and Perizzites, and Lord, the other people, and the Jebusites now live. Amen. I'm nervous. Amen. So God told Moses, he said, you got to get up and get out. He said, I done called you. You done lived a life. You done got fed through a silver spoon. You got all the milk you want. You got all the honey you want. Now it's time to take my people to the promised land. Now it's time to take my people and show them who I am. At this point, Moses fled. Moses fled because he had went down once again. And one of the Israelites, they were fighting God's people. And they're like, what are you going to do? Take one of us out? So he fled. Moses fled. And God spoke to him when he fled.
Right.
See, God spoke to him when he fled. Now, it doesn't mean leave the church. God going to speak to me if I leave the church. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. Stay here and let God speak to you. Amen. So Moses was tending the flock. And God called him through a burning bush. God called him through a burning bush. God's going to call you through a burning bush whether you like it or not. He's going to call you through your leaders whether you like it or not. He's going to call you through your pastors and even through each other.
Yeah.
Even through each other.
Amen.
But we got to listen. We got to understand what's being served to us. We got to chew. We got to sip on the milk and you know, the honey and slimy. So we got to take it down slow. We got to take it in. This is where Moses, God spoke to him. Moses gave it all up for the cause.
Amen.
He gave it all up.
That's right.
He gave up the palace, the high life, the clothing, the jewelry, and a silver spoon for God's people.
Come on.
Are you giving that up tonight?
Come on.
What are you giving up? You know, now I'm about turning your cards. No, get radical with it. Hello, somebody.
Come on now.
But what are you giving up? What are you giving up?
Yes.
Giving up coffee, hello? Boy, well, that's going to beat me down. What are you giving up? It's got to take something. You got to give something. You got to give something.
Right.
What are we going to do when we hear the cry of the city of Grand Prairie?
Come on.
The cry of the hurting, the lost, and the bound. Are you going to give it your all? Will you step into God's presence and answer the call? Moses didn't forget where he came from. He didn't forget where he came from. The more we serve, the less self-centered we'll be.
Come on.
The more we give, the more our faith will grow.
Amen.
Your time and your money, it's not all about that. But we do need it to build a church.
Come on.
Hello, somebody. Right? The little rascals, we need your money. We're building a clubhouse. We need your money. We're building a church.
Come on.
We're building a church. We're building a worship team. We're building where your family can serve.
Yes.
We're building where your family can worship.
Yes.
Where your children can worship. See, Moses had to look at the outside. He had to look at the outside. He had to see what was going on outside of the palace.
That's right.
He had to see what was going on outside.
Yeah.
Sometimes we got to look out the outside.
That's
right. Yes, continue to work on the inside. But stop being so selfish. Stop being so self-centered. Stop being, brother, it's all about me. Sister, all about me. Because guess what? You can be Sister Eileen. Come on, somebody. Lean on your own understanding. I lean on brother. I lean on my own understanding. But Moses didn't do that. What he saw, what he did, the children of Israel didn't forget where they came from.
They didn't forget where they came from. Moses loved the children of Israel.
Yes.
He loved them. He loved them. Not because he was just one of them. It wasn't about that. It was about getting those kids, the next generation, out of the mud.
Yeah.
It was about getting the next family and put them where they need to be. So when they're ready to be launched out, when they get in the quiver, that family is ready to be launched out and go serve in the MTC. When that young person is ready and in the quiver and ready to go serve in the UTC and come back and build and go back out, I believe that's what Moses was doing. See, our leaders are not here to hurt us. They're here to position us.
Yes,
there it is.
They're here to position us.
Come on.
There was times in my life, man, pastor be like, dude, it's like, man, it was snowing one time in Arlington. Come on.
Hello.
And he told me and some other guy that was in the home, I love the snow. The dude was mad. I was like, we go beat me up. If you can't get the pastor, you're going to get to me. But it didn't make sense. He gave us some flyers and he said, go. What? I want to ride in the car. Nah. He said, you like the snow? He got me. He said, walk from here to the home to the church. That was like a good 30, 10, 20 minutes. We made it an hour because the dude was mad. It wasn't my fault. But he positioned me. Now I can go do rallies. Now I can go with someone else and teach them on how to reach somebody. Now I can go and preach the gospel. It's all about positioning one another. Don't break down one another. Don't put one another down, because you never know, that person might become your leader.
Come on.
You never know. Well, God, they might grow faster than you. You might have been in the church, but there's somebody coming up, baby. There's somebody coming up right behind you who wants it just a little bit more than you do. And Moses wanted it a little bit more than Pharaoh did. Pharaoh was nasty, man.
Come on.
He didn't play no games. He wanted those people to stay there. But guess what? When you're God's people.
Yeah.
When you're in your anointing, when because without your anointing, you can't work. You can't work and do what you got to do.
Come on.
But the devil can't get to you.
Yeah.
The devil can't get to you. So he loved them. If they wouldn't have loved us, they wouldn't have, you know, came and did what they did. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Oh Lord. I think I wrote the wrong one down. First Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price.
Come on.
So you must honor God with your body.
Amen.
Moses honored God. Pastor Sonny said it sounded clear. It's our time to reach the square. Hello, somebody. It's time to go reach Highland Park. It's time to go reach a non-gang member, the suicidal. The game has changed, my friend. It's not all about baggy pants no more. He said, it's about skinny jeans. I said, you ain't going to find me in skinny jeans. And my pastor's going to rebuke me. How dare you get skinny jeans? You see me wearing skinny jeans? No.